Okay, again, we'll read in Genesis chapter 45, verse 1 through 10, and we'll read these verses responsively, and I read the first verse, and then you read the second one, and so on, all the way down to verse 10. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Does my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years has famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to go and preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. Let us pray at this time. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of thy word. We pray now that you bless now the preaching of thy word. I pray you open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Help us, Lord, be attentive to everything that's said. May you speak to our heart. Fill our pastor with the Spirit of God, giving wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And, Lord, help us receive your word, Lord, gladly, and we'll thank you for it all. And we ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Believe. God bless you. Genesis chapter 45, I appreciate that so much. How true that is. And I hope you feel God's love. And I know if you meditate enough, you'll experience it. Genesis 45. Genesis chapter 45 in your Bible. And I want you to look at our text verse in verse 5. We'll build our sermon on this verse. I read my Bible, Genesis, Revelation, over and over again. I lost track on how many times. Well, I would think more than 35 times, maybe 40. I don't know. I lost track. But I read the Bible constantly, Genesis, Revelation. I got it on my phone now, and I listen to it, you know, with the earpiece in my ear and meditate on the scriptures. You can put it on your phone, and I'll read. I constantly read over and over again. And as I was reading my Bible, really, the Holy Spirit, God, tugged at my heart. I was looking for things to help you and to preach to you about. In verse 5, the Lord, He impressed upon my heart this verse to build my sermon upon. And that's in verse 5. He said, "Now therefore, be not grieved." In verse 5, "Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life." So I want you to underline that, put a star by it, or highlight it in verse 5. "Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves." And you can title this sermon if you want to this morning, "Be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves." Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, help me to comfort the people. The devil is a condemner. The devil is a deceiver. The devil is a robber, a destroyer. Yet you came to give them the abundant life, my Father. The devil is a condemner, accuser. You're the Savior. You're the forgiver. You're the restorer. So please help me to help the people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you look up here? Would you look up here? You can read the life of Joseph, beginning chapter 37. And they have a little commercial there, but you pick up and from chapters 39 to 50 in the book of Genesis. It's something you need to read over and over again in your life. That's why so many preachers talk about Joseph, because it helps so many people. Especially all groups and ages of people. Joseph, you got to realize, as a youth, when he was a teenager, his brothers sold him into slavery and sold him, wanted to kill him, and jealous of him. And that's so sad that a brother would treat a brother that way, but would want to kill his brother. The brothers wanted to kill the brother. But the other brother said, let's don't kill him, let's just sell him to slavery. And he would save his life. And so while he was there in Egypt, as he was growing older, living for God, loving God, you understand that God blessed him and promoted him and there gave him a wonderful job. But there, the boss man, his wife, wanted him. He's a handsome young man, but he was taught to stay clean and holy and pure and to be faithful to his God and what his parents taught him. He never got mad at God, never got bitter, never quit. And she got mad, and she couldn't have him, so she cried out rape. And you know the story, that God was with him in the prison. And, hey, son, hey, over here. I want you to pay attention, okay, son? You need to listen to this, all right? We brought you here on that bus out there, not for you to just fiddle-faddle. I want you to get something. I want you to get something to change your life, cause God to bless your life, okay? And I want you to pay attention. And so Joseph, that's all right. I got him. He's fine. I got him. He's right in front of me. Thank you. Joseph, there in prison, the Lord blessed him, was with him. And, God gave him the ability to interpret dreams. Make a long story short, the king, he helped the king and interpret a dream and got a job with the right hand of the king there. God, from rags to riches and wealth, and how God blessed him abundantly. At the time that God elevated him and promoted him, he started dealing with his brothers and dealing with his family there. And God set the famine where they had no food, where his brothers had no food. And the people around the world didn't have any food. And they would come to Egypt, and people were dying. But his brothers came to Egypt not knowing Joseph was alive, and did not know that he was the man, the right-hand man, that was preserving life and saving life, and the king elevated and promoted him. And so while he was there, Joseph knew that those were his brothers. They didn't know it was him, and they didn't understand what was going on until Joseph told them. Of course, they remembered Joseph as a little teenager, and now he's grown older, and there he's a man of authority. But Joseph knows his brothers, but they don't know him. And make a long story short, you know, he tricked them for a little while, and I believe for a moment, maybe, I may be wrong, but he was thinking about revenge, maybe, just maybe. But God got a hold of his heart, and God taught him to forgive his brothers. For sometimes forgiveness is hard to do. It's very hard to do sometimes, especially when people do you dirty. And so Joseph, with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, God tells him, don't you kill your brothers. God shares with him, just like God shares with you when you pray. God get a hold of your heart, and you got to share with him. Joseph, I allowed you to go through these troubles. I allowed you to go through these heartache. Joseph, listen, I was there when your brothers put you in the pit. I was there when they sold you to slavery. I was there when your brothers were jealous against you. I was there when that woman cried rape and lied on you. I was there when you were in jail. Now, Joseph, I brought these things in your life for a purpose. I brought it in your life for a purpose. And here you are, the right hand of the king. I blessed you with wealth. I blessed you with money. I did this to show the world. And that's why so many people talk about Joseph. And they talk about the story. Because God used these events to help people all across the world. And generation after generation, people that have been hurt has been helped by the life of Joseph. Everybody in this room has been hurt, maybe by a brother, maybe by a sister, maybe by a mom, maybe by a dad, maybe by a child, maybe by a roommate, maybe your closest friend turned against you, maybe somebody lied on you. But we can all relate to Joseph. We all can relate to Joseph. We all can relate what happened to Joseph. Now, in Genesis chapter 45 and verse 5, Joseph is explaining to them, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. You sold me as a slave. For God did send me before you to preserve life. God brought this trial. God brought this trouble. God brought this heartache in my life. He brought it in your life. The purpose of accomplishing some great thing for you and for others. And my message this morning is verse 5, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. Joseph said, don't do it. I realize my purpose in life. I believe Joseph would walk with God, and God taught him about the coming Messiah that would die, would be bruised, that will suffer on the cross. He would die. He would be treated wrong. God would become a man and die on the cross, and all mankind's sins would be placed upon Jesus, and his death would bring eternal life. His death would change people. His death would be a blessing to many, many people. And no doubt, Joseph realized that he was being like Jesus, just like the Jews rejected Jesus and put him on a cross. And can you imagine? Nails in his hands and feet, and the crown on his brow, and the blood on Jesus, and all the blood. And can you imagine the tears? And can you imagine God, a holy God, taking our sin, on him, a holy God. Every sin that I've committed, every sin I've committed, every sin you've committed, paid the price. Can you imagine those same Jews who crucified him? Peter preached, and they got saved. The same Jews that laughed at him. The same Jews that put him on the cross got saved. The ones that put him on the cross, he saved them after they believed. Could you imagine what it would take for a holy God? We're going to heaven because of His blood. We're going to heaven because He died. We're going to heaven. Oh, listen, the way we got saved is by trusting Christ. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. And we're saved by grace. We're saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's not because you joined the church. It's not because you're good. It's not because, hey, you became so righteous. You can never do enough good to get to heaven. You can never do enough good. Only Jesus can pay the price for sin. And He did. And when you received Him, He saved you. He saved you. And He forgave you. And your sins are paid for. And you can't go to hell. And you have eternal life. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been. And there's people out there think they can't get saved. We ought to tell them, no matter what you've done, if you ask God to forgive you, if you say you're sorry, if you call on Christ, hey, we got to tell them, Paul was a murderer, but he got saved. Peter was a cussing, denying person, a wicked person. He's a nasty, wicked person, but he got saved and God used him. We got to tell them, the most vile, the most wicked people got saved. The thief on the cross got saved. He said, Lord, remember me. He's a thief, a robber. Here's a murderer, most likely. And we ought to tell them, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, and the devil tells them they can't be saved. Explain to them, God saved you. I can tell them, God saved me. He took an old wicked sinner, and He saved and changed me. He saved me, He saved you. Let me tell you something, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. You may even have been brought up in a Christian home, but the Bible says all have sinned. There's none righteous. You might have been grew up in church all your life. There's none righteous. All have sinned. All come short to the glory of God. You may be better than somebody, but when you stand next to God, let me tell you something. Everybody has sinned. Nobody deserves heaven. I don't care how good you may think you are. God saved us by His grace. God saved us by His mercy. God saved us because He became sin for us. And He died for us. Joseph looked at his brothers and said, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. Romans 5:12, by one man's sin entered this world, by death. Sin, because it's sin, death has come upon all men. We all sin. We're born sinners. We're born in sin. It's born in iniquity. David said, born in sin. Every one of us were born in sin. You didn't have to teach us to do sin. Sin came with the package. One man, Adam. But one man came in Jesus Christ and made it right for everybody. And you are made right because of the blood of Jesus. You are made right because of His sacrifice. You are made right because of His blood. You are justified by His blood. You are, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. You are sanctified by His blood. You are justified by His blood. Hey, you are redeemed by His blood. Amen. You listen to me well this morning. God says, be not grieved or angry with yourselves. Say, preacher, how can I not be angry with myself? You don't know what I've done. You say, preacher, how can I not be grieved? You don't know the mess. I know. Joseph's brothers were grieved. Joseph's brothers were angry. And every one of us ought to get angry sometime. And we get mad what we did, the way we treated God. We get grieved and we look back at our life. How can we have done that? How can we have said that? Look at me. You know I'm telling the truth. I can't even believe I did that. I cannot even believe I did. And there's scars. Hey, look at me. There's scars. They're there. And we look back and we wasted time and we made dumb decisions and we hurt people and we hurt God. And there's people here this morning, you know I'm telling the truth. It grieves you. You know I'm telling the truth. You get angry. The pastor that God used, and my wife remembers, we came down in 1985. My son Bobby was just a little baby. My oldest son was just a little baby. We came to look at Knoxville, and God broke our hearts, and the Lord showed us this city, that this is the city that there's precious people that God loves and God has, and God wanted us to start a church here in 1985. And we came down at the end of 84, and we moved down to 85. God used this pastor in a great way to answer prayer and answer my prayer, and I got with him, and they came down and showed me Knoxville, Tennessee. He loved us. We would go and look at the city. By the way, can I say this? There was a great snowstorm, and I was thinking about going to Memphis. I was thinking about going to Chattanooga, but it was the biggest snowstorm they ever had in East Tennessee. I believe God blocked it all out. I could not go any of those places but right here to Knoxville. God shut the door. We slid on the ice. One of the biggest snowstorms, the ice storms they ever had. I came to Knoxville and God broke my heart. But Brother Doug Ripley, I preached for him. And I got word. And by the way, if it happened to him, it could happen to any of us as parents. His oldest son, and I don't wish this on any parent, took a shotgun, put a bullet in his head. He was 28 years old, I believe. 28. He was grieved. He was angry with himself. Something he did wrong. I wish somebody would have prayed more. I wish somebody would have cried more. I wish there was a brother. I wish there was a sister. I wish there was somebody. I mean, this father loved God. He loved the Lord, and he still loves the Lord. This pastor was used as a help to this pastor, your preacher. He fed us. I'm talking about, I preached at his church. He gave us love offerings. He took time with us. He didn't know you people. He went all the way up Boston and cried and wept with my preacher. And they cried for good churches, and they cried for good preachers, and for you. He cried. It was a white preacher. He cried. My preacher was black. And the black preacher and the white preacher cried for good preachers in the black community that have preached the Bible and that love God, that love people. And he cried. And my preacher was black and he cried. And the black man and the white man cried and prayed. God used him. When I went to my pastor and my pastor said, he said, this is the answer to prayer. He said, the preacher came up from Tennessee and he said, he called me Bob. A lot of people call me Bob back then. Bob, they call me Bob, you know, nickname Bob. But don't you call me Bob. But my pastor called me Bob. And he said, Bob, he said, let me tell you something. He said, listen to me. He said, I thought God wanted me to Tennessee. And he says, I've been wrestling with this. I've been struggling with it. He said, I really didn't want to go anyway. I'm glad it's you, not me. But he didn't want to leave up in Boston. And my wife would tell you, when I got off the phone, I was so thrilled. I was so excited and thrilled that God spoke to my pastor through prayer. And I didn't. He didn't speak one word to me. One word to me. So I went to him. He said, this is the answer to prayer. He said, Brother Doug Ripley from Morristown, Tennessee, came up here and prayed with me. And we prayed. I knew you wanted to start a church. I knew God had it in you to start somewhere. I didn't know where. He said, but this is the answer to prayer, he told me. I came to Knoxville. And Brother Doug Ripley preached. He went from Morristown. He went all the way to Alabama. Next to Huntsville, there, Decatur, Alabama. I'll never forget. We was at the community center. We didn't have a building. We didn't have our vans. We didn't have our bus. We just had about 2 or 3 people coming in, maybe 5, maybe 8. And he said back then $15,000 was a lot of money back then. Ain't much as was a lot for we could use $15,000. But he said, way back then $15,000 was a lot more money. He said, come on down here. I started took over a church. He said, come on. I said, no, Brother Doug. I said, God has me here in Knoxville. That was way back in the early 87, 88, somewhere around there. We were here for maybe 3 or 4 years. I forgot when he was. But anyway, I went there, and then he listen to me. I'm trying to help you out. The one that you never think would be green, the one that you think would never be angry, the one that you think will never take his life. I am telling you this morning, I am launching this pulpit. I am begging you, I am pleading with you. Be not green with yourself. Be not angry with yourself. And if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, 9, and 10. Read it. He'll cleanse you. He'll cleanse you by his blood. Confess your sin. Ask him to forgive you. He promised forgiveness. He promised the far as the east and west from the deepest sea. Hey, forgive yourself. Hey, don't be angry with yourself. Hey, don't you do something stupid and take your life. Don't do it. Here in Knoxville, right here, this is Pastor South Knoxville. There, years ago, and we'd go there and have the preacher's meetings there. And then I got the word of the teenager that took a shotgun and blew his brains out and splattered his brains on the wall. And here is a teenager you never thought would think that would take a shotgun and the parent had to walk in and wipe his brains off the wall. A teenager that has done something that he wished he would have never done. Teenager, you listen to me. Let me tell you something. There's a God that will forgive you. There's a God that can take your life and bless you. Joseph's brothers put him into slavery. Joseph's brothers tried to kill him. Joseph's brothers were haunted. Joseph's brothers were mad. And Joseph said, be not grieved. Be not grieved. Be not angry with yourself. And that's what the devil wants. He wants you to be grieved. I can't believe it. There's many that have done sin and wickedness, and they're in prison, they're in jail. They wish they listened to mama, they wish they listened to daddy. They weren't raised that way. They didn't do what they shouldn't do. Let me tell you something, my brother. Let me tell you something, sister. We better tell these kids, we better tell these teenagers, listen, don't you be so grieved that you take your life. Don't you commit suicide. Don't you just quit. Don't you just walk out and say, I'll never come to church again. Don't you get mad at God and yourself when you don't serve God and you don't love God. The devil's a stinking liar. The devil's a stinking liar. Thousands and thousands in universities today, thousands are going to counselors. Going to counselors. Because they've done things they wish they didn't do. I wish they didn't do it. Can't take it back. It's done. You sold your brother in slavery. You tried to kill your own brother. You broke your daddy's heart who loved you so much. How could you do that to your dad and mom? You had to look at them. They had to look at their mother. I joke, Brother Bro, I joke. I say, hey, I can understand our kids maybe breaking our heart. I can understand that. They don't understand our love sometimes. They don't understand why we're so hard. They don't understand why we're so fit. The manly, trying to do everything we can do to keep them out of jail and prison and try to keep them from a stick of drive-by shooting, trying to keep them from shooting themselves and trying to keep them from a bunch of hell. Trying to keep them from somebody breaking your heart. I can understand we're rough, Doc. But I can't understand these kids that break mama's hearts. Mama. That's mama, man. These kids that look at their mother. I mean, look what they're waiting and look what they're asking. Mother told them, my mother's told them, don't do it. Don't act this way. But they killed her. They actually killed their brother in the heart. They committed murder in their heart. The Bible says you think upon lust and you think upon the angry so much you murder in your heart. And their mother, with a broken heart, missed Joseph all the years. And a dad missed his child. Some of you don't understand this. You won't understand it until one day you have kids. Shoot, kids. We love you. You young people, we love you. But you never understand your mother's love until you have kids. You'll never understand your mother's love. I tell you, man, after having kids, I know what it's like. There's a love that's indescribable. Oh, man, I can't explain to you the love. It's just the only way to explain it is to you one day you have kids. And you start to love God. And you start to love Jesus. And you know what real love is. You know what I'm saying? But then I look back at my life growing up. You know, I wish sometime I didn't give my mom a hard time like I did growing up as a little kid, as a little child. And we all can remember times that I just wish I didn't make it so rough on her. Hey, I understand it now, man. I understand it. Mom, and when I went to Bible college, and she just wept and cried. She didn't have no car. She didn't have no license. She never drove. And never seen my parents ever have any vehicles and cars or poor. And there's a bunch of hell in our home. And just a bunch of, it's a nightmare. I love mom, love dad. But I tell you what, let me tell you something. They loved us. They loved us. They loved us. And I understand the drinking and the liquor. I understand the fights. I understand. But they stayed together and they fought every week. So they didn't leave each other because of the kids. And they loved us. And I know we didn't have what you had. And we didn't have the clothes that you had. We didn't have the washers and dryers that you had. We didn't have the wardrobe that you had. I talk to you about the cereals and all the cereals. We didn't have that. I mean, we were just sugar and water and tea and toast and in the morning and maybe a couple of pair of clothes. But I'll tell you what, my dad didn't have any car, but he walked in the snow and he took the bus and he worked in a hot factory and he drank. Yes, he drank. But I never, ever remember a day that we didn't have nothing. At least we had some sugar. At least we had some water. At least we had some bread. But there was never, 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 never a day that there wasn't a piece of bread that I remember. I remember my mom when I told her I was coming to Tennessee. I told her I was coming to Knoxville, Tennessee. I remember that she wept and she cried, and I can see her in the window. I can see her waving goodbye and crying. And she did not want me to come. And she just didn't want. She didn't want it, you know. She didn't want it. And I think about my wife, the sacrifice she made, her dad, and her mom. I'll never forget my mom, my wife's mom. She said to my wife, well, why can't you just start a church up here? She didn't understand. When God calls you, if he calls you to a place, you ought to go where he wants you, not where. I didn't come here because it was my choice. My life belongs to God. My life belongs to Jesus. Her life belongs to Jesus. Her life belongs to God. When she was a teenager, she loved the Lord. She was on a bus packing kids up as a teenager, 14 years old. 14 years old. That's what she was doing, 14 years old. That's what she was doing. But she did what God wanted her to do. I remember her mother saying, well, can't you just start a church here? And it was hard for her. And it's hard for her. And it's not easy. But what I'm trying to tell you, there's a love there. And there's sometimes you look back, and I know that sometimes we wish that we maybe done this and maybe done that. And we realize the mother's love and realize the dad's love. And we always wasn't what we ought to be. Not all the time. None of us was what we ought to be all the time. I don't care who you are this morning. There was a time that you made mom worry. You you made that worry. Sometimes, listen to me, every one of us know I'm telling the truth. Right? But let me tell you something. There is a God this morning that says, I know that you sin. I'm not justifying sin. I'm telling you, I am not justifying sin. I'm not telling you I'm justifying and go ahead and just sin and have a good time. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you, you that have sinned and done wrong, God says, be not grieved. God says, be not grieved. Be not angry with yourself. I don't think some of you understand, but I believe some of you do. There's some people in this room, they wish they never did it. They wish they could take it out of their brain. They wish they never wish they had done it. I don't want to get into specifics, but you don't understand. There's so much guilt. There's so much guilt. The devil's a stinking liar. I beg you, I plead with you, don't take your life. Don't do it. Don't quit. Don't ruin your life. Some boy or some girl, they'll just try it. Other partner, they get all messed up and it's going to get hurt. Don't do it. Your life is precious. Oh, let me tell you something. There's a God. He wants to forgive. I wish to God you'd pray with me. I have such a burden and love for you people. I know what the devil does. I know what the devil does. You boys, sin will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. Sin will take you farther than you. Wake up, son. Wake up. They're in jail. They're in jail. They're in jail today. They're in prison. I wish they had a preacher that preached to them. I wish they had a preacher that would love them. I wish they had a preacher that would bring them on the bus. Son, let me tell you something. The devil would love to ruin your life. I wish you could see that they're doing things for attention and trying to be bad. They're trying to be cool. They're getting all messed up and ruining the wreck of their lives because there's guilt and they're trying to hide it in there. And there's a bunch of guilt there. We ought to tell them Christ will forgive. Christ will cleanse. We ought to tell them how God saved Paul who murdered Christians and how he went and killing Christians and put them in prison, put them in jail. And God called the Apostle Paul to be a preacher. And God used Paul. And he done wickedness. And he done bad things. But God met him. And God saved him to show the whole world. Go tell that brother. Go tell that sister. Go tell that son. Go tell that daughter. Oh, joining the church won't save you. Getting baptized won't save you. Changing your ways won't save you. Joining the church won't save you. You can't get to heaven by climbing up the left side of the mountain. You can't get to heaven by holding on and all that stinking garbage. You've got to put your faith in Christ and let God forgive you. Let God cleanse you. Take that guilt away. Put it on the cross of Calvary. The nails were driven in his hands for your sin. The nails were driven in his feet for sin. The devil wants you to stick and be all messed up. I wish I could change it. My preaching is? My preaching is a cry over you, love you, scream, walk over pews. My job. I told the brother, if they get wives, love, like my wife loves me, all my boys, all the boys of this church, I'll be happy. They just love Jesus like I love the Lord, my boys. My girls. As I love my wife and never hurt and beaten on her and just treat her like gold, I'd be happy. I've got to be a preacher. I've got to be a preacher's wife. I love God. Love Jesus. Serve the Lord. I said, if you could get one like Brother Burley has in the family, and if you can just get some mates, get plug them up, both love Jesus. My job is to scream and holler, but then I'm no devil's fool. They're going to do that which God said don't do. They're going to be like Adam and Eve, and they're going to want it. It looks good, it tastes good, it feels good. They go, listen. And then sin will come. And then trouble. And then guilt. Death. The eyes get plucked out like Samson's. The strength and the beauty is gone. My job is to tell you, Samson's hair started growing again. And he tore down the Philistines. And God used them again. My job is to scream. My job is to holler. My job is to cry. Don't do it, David. David, please don't do it. David, I beg you, I know that girl looks good. It's all set up for you, David. Don't do it. Scream and holler. But when David does it, and he has the husband killed, his buddy, by the way, can you imagine you and your buddy taking your wife, having you killed? His buddy. Had his buddy killed. You ever know Uriah the Hittite was one of the greatest soldiers he had? That man was so loyal. David tried to go say, go sleep with your wife, and because he knew that baby was his, and try to make it that was there. That was a man's baby. And that man said, I will not go sleep with my wife when my brothers are fighting. I'll stay right here guarding you. David had that man killed. And my job is to say, don't do it, don't do it. If anybody was grieved and anybody was mad and discouraged, was David. But you read Psalm 51. And he didn't commit suicide. The preacher did a terrible act. A terrible, awful act. And the preacher, it is an awful thing. It's a bad thing. It's a wicked thing. To be disloyal to your wife. It's ungodly. It's wicked. I tell you, you got to worry about me being unfaithful. My wife will cut my private parts off. Forget that forgiveness stuff. I could preach all that stuff. It ain't going to happen. And she'll do it, then she'll ask for forgiveness. I fear her more than... I was about to say more to God, but I don't. I fear God more, but I do fear her. She liked these stupid wives. These old boys, these old players. All they need to get is one good one. Don't put up with that stinking job. Some don't like this preaching right now. Somebody say amen. She pulled that stinking foolishness. But that guy walked out into his grave. That guy walked to his grave and put a bullet in his head. Another one, preach, evangelist, preach. I'm talking about preach like you never heard preach before. Never preached before. Started messing around with certain medicines. What is it? Prozac? What is it? Prozac? What is it called? Prozac? Say it. Hey, say you mess with it. Mess with that medicine. Mess with it. Preacher. Out of his mind. Drove him out of his mind. Where he put a bullet in his head. I plead with you. I beg you. Be not angry with yourselves. Be not grieved with yourselves. Suicide is not the answer. Get God's forgiveness. God will forgive. God will cleanse. God will use you. Hey! If he can use Peter that denied him and cursed him, and Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and thousands got saved. Hey! Tell him! I wish to God that you'd understand this. You know, I know, I'm glad we're not God. We'd put that guy over the fires of hell, wouldn't we? Now, most likely he's in hell. You don't talk about he held him captive for how many years? 10? Last week, they said, in a jail cell, and they put some of them believed, some of them encouraged him. Now listen, I'm not condoning what he did. It's an awful thing. I'm glad you're not God. I'm not God. We might have kicked him over the fires of hell. Seriously. If he did it my daughter, come on. If he did it your daughter, flames of fire, hell. Come on. Don't look at me all stinking, like you're sanctimonious, like you're some stinking angel or something. I'm glad you're not God. But you know the truth of the matter? If that guy would have asked Jesus to save his soul from hell, do you know Judas didn't have to hang himself? All Judas had to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. I realize I should never have kissed you and denied you. I shouldn't have greeted you and I shouldn't have... And he just couldn't take it. The Bible says he took a rope around his neck, and the branch must have busted, and his bowels busted, and his body splattered on the ground. He put the rope around his neck, the branch broke, and you can see his guts. The truth of the matter is, to be honest with you, if somebody could have just talked him into it, saying, listen, I know it's a wicked thing to deny God and to betray God. And listen, Judas, I know you went out in the church service. I know everybody thought you were saved. I know you were faking it all the time. Judas, if somebody could have said, get saved, Judas. Don't just join the church, Judas. Don't just sing in the choir, Judas. Just don't preach the Sunday school. Judas, you know you don't believe in Jesus. You know you don't believe he's the Savior. You don't believe. Let me talk to you. I'm talking to you this morning. If you never have believed that Jesus died, was buried, and rose from the dead, and all the time you're faking it, I beg of you, you that have denied Christ, hey, I beg of you, if you're not saved, if you don't know you're going to heaven, ask Christ to save you today. Ask Him to forgive you today. He'll save you. Don't commit suicide. I'm not saying that people commit suicide not saved. I'm just saying the devil's a stinking liar. I beg you. I plead with you. Let God use you. Let God bless you. How many different men in John chapter 4 she had? How many different men she slept with? How many different ones? John chapter 4. 5. And Jesus said, the one that you're shacking up with right now ain't your husband. Hello? The one you're with right now is not your husband. She said, you know about me. You know everything about me. Everything that goes on in college, he knows about it all. Everything you do on your job, he knows about it all. Everything you do in school, he knows about it all. He knew about it. He knew about. Look, it is amazing how the devil doesn't want people to listen. It's amazing how the devil uses things to tune the preacher out. It's amazing what the devil does. It amazes me what the devil does to tune. Man, this thing is real. This thing is more real than you can imagine. My sister, y'all. Y'all know my girl, Joy. My sister. Joy looks like my sister when she was young. You see Joy, you see my sister. I thank God I led her to the Lord when she was in the hospital, and she's in heaven now. But my sister, one of the most beautiful young ladies you could ever look on. Married a guy. Hey! That really looked like he had it all together. But one thing was missing. He wasn't in love with Jesus. And he wasn't serving Jesus. Nice car. Nice house. Really acted like a gentleman. Until he started drinking beer. That's when he started beating on her. Yeah. That's when he started treating her bad. Make my mama cry. We'd go and visit. Mama cry. Like a long story short, well, he took a bunch of pills. He committed suicide. I'm not finished. Look how wicked the devil is. Look how bad the devil, look how vicious the devil is. Poor children suffer. I got a word. It breaks my heart. Everyone knows in this room you hurt when relatives. My nephew, all over the state, the whole state, on the news, my nephew, it is said it took a hammer. went up to the bedroom of a former girlfriend. And her boyfriend allowed this to happen. They dated in the past. She was just trying to help him. He was homeless. And what it said, that he went and tried to beat her brains out with a hammer. I try to get my sister to come here to Knoxville. We grew up in the Kingdom Hall, Jehovah's Witness, but they talked her into going to Florida. So she went down there for a better life and went around here. And she went to Florida. I love my sister. I love her so much. I had a spoon, and my family would tell you I would go feed her. She couldn't eat when she was she was young. Not real young, but she was in old folks. She was dying like an old convalescent home. And I would feed her with a spoon with soup and loved her. And I think about the hurt that happened in her life. I think about all that happened. I think about where sin brings. I see what the devil does. And I look at you beautiful young ladies. I look at you handsome young men. And I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that wants to bless you more than you can imagine. He wants to bless you. I just want you to look down the road, and I want you to see that after you do it, the devil comes, and they come, and they say, I'm angry. And they say, this is what they say, I'm grieved. I'm mad. You can't change the past, but you can change the future. You can't change your past, but you can change your future. You can't change your past. Hey, but you can change your future. You can change your future. You can change it. Yes, you can too. Don't leave here and say, I'm for David, the king, killing that good man and taking his life. Don't leave here saying, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying God can take a mess. He can make a blessing out of it. If you don't quit. Who was born? Solomon. Wisest man that ever lived. God took a mess. You're hurt. You treated him wrong. You treated her wrong. Oh, there's a God that can make a blessing out of him. Tell you kids. I tell my kids. I tell you. Brother, you tell yours. If in life you do things that hurt your parents, you hurt God, you hurt your church, don't listen to the stinking devil. We love you. Hey, prodigal! Hey, prodigal! You broke dad's heart! You broke mom's heart! Come on back! Come on back! And the ring is waiting! And the robe is wet! Hey! And there's a party going on! Hey! He was dead! But now he's alive! Let's have a party time! They're saved! They're saved! Somebody ought to shout! Somebody ought to praise God! The prodigal, after your sin did he commit suicide? Hey! He broke dad's heart! But he came back! He came back! You let God bless you. Okay? God use you. God help you. Really? I'll be honest with you. Our church is going to have to be a hospital. It's going to have to be a doctor's office. I'm sorry. I wish everybody listened. I'm no devil's fool, man. Come on. I'm no devil's fool. I know I look back at my life, I wish I could change some things. I can't. But I can change my future. Amen. God can do something good out of it. Both parents were alcoholics, drunks, fighting, and poverty. all the hell you can imagine. Project boy. So there was no hope. But God made me a pastor. He loves his people. God can take a mess and he can make a blessing out of it. I know better than my sister. I know better than her. I know better than her. I never heard my sister swear one time. Never heard her swear. I never seen my sister swear. I never seen my sister ever put alcohol in her lips. I never seen my sister smoke a cigarette. Never. Never. I never seen my sister ever abuse one of her kids. The only difference is the grace and mercy of God in my life. That's it. You got to understand that. You got to understand that. Okay? You understand that? Jesus is going to make the difference in your life. Some are going to choose the Jesus way. Some are not. We're going to offer everything we can get. All the University of Tennessee students we can get. Knoxville College, State College. We're going to scream, holler, cry, do everything we can do. But I promise you, the ones that take it and apply it will be blessed in your life. I'll see you 10 years from now. I'll see you 20 years from now. I'll see him. How many years? 20? How many years ago? About how many? 23 years old. 23 years ago. 23 years ago. 23 years ago. Like these University of Tennessee students. Hello? The future's coming faster, you think. But you made the decision. Serve the Lord. Love the Lord. Sure has paid off. Sure been a good journey. It's been a wonderful journey. My kids will tell you, I love them to death. Listen, all that matters to me, they serve the Lord, love the Lord, everything's going to be fine. No matter what you do in life. Faithful in church, serve the Lord, I just know it's going to work out. I know. I don't think. I know. You tithe, you give, I know. I'm not hoping. I know. He'll open you the windows of heaven. Let me tell you something, brother. Let me say, there's a God that forgives. There's a God that will open to you the windows of heaven. You've got to have to learn when you rob God and you do wrong. Hey, there's a God in heaven that will bless you or he'll curse you. Somebody say amen. I said he'll bless you or curse you. It's real. It ain't fake, it's real. Amen. You hear me? It ain't fake, it's real. Lord, I found out God collects. I'd rather give my tithe and offerings willingly because he knows how to make things break down. Amen. Come on, everybody, and say amen. Amen. You say you're meddling now, you better believe I'm meddling. So I want God to bless you. Amen. Amen. I told you, brother, it paid off, right? Let me tell you something, he'll come through for you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads about, eyes are closed. I know we're going over time. But I know some of you would be excited if you too went over time sometime, isn't that right? You don't mind that, do you? Look at it. Come on now, you get what you pay for sometimes. Somebody say amen there. Yeah, sometimes you enjoy a good game, don't you? You say, I didn't get nothing out of it. Maybe you didn't pay much to this thing. Come on, somebody say amen. You put something in it, you may get a blessing this morning. Somebody say amen. You get your tithe in there. Brother Bowen, get the plate before they leave. Some of them may come a little bit later. Hopefully, you get some put it in before they leave. Amen. Go ahead and get the plate. Yeah. Brother Johnson, help them. Yeah. Maybe we can get them before they go out the door. Some hoping we wouldn't, hope that they were hoping they missed the offering.